Arab regimes remain deeply divided over Gaza, even as Israel carries out one of its fiercest attacks on the Strip. Are Arab leaders shirking their responsibilities to the people of Gaza, and why? This is Inside Story. Welcome to the program. I'm Imran Garda. Over 1,000 Palestinians have been killed as Israel's war on Gaza came to the end of its third week. Diplomatic efforts to end the conflict are continuing both in and outside of the Arab world. An Israeli delegation is in Cairo to discuss a ceasefire plan. Egypt says it has obtained agreement from Hamas on the broad outlines of a truce. The group, however, says it still has some reservations. Turkey has said it's ready to participate in a monitoring mission along the border between Egypt and Gaza. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon began a tour of the region in Egypt on Wednesday. Saudi Arabia is hosting a summit of Gulf countries before the rest of the Arab League discuss the situation on the fringe of an economic conference in Kuwait next week. Well, the Emir of Qatar has called for an emergency summit of the Arab League to be held in Doha this week.
We all know it is shameful to discuss the national and the human cause of Gaza. It has now been stained with children's blood at the margin of a previously planned summit. We have renewed our invitation for an emergency Arab summit in Doha. Whenever quorum has been reached, it falls short again.
Well, joining us today are our guests in Paris, Patrick Seal, a leading British writer on the Middle East, and in Doha, Abdelbari Atwan, editor of the London-based pan-Arab newspaper Al-Quds Al-Arabi. Thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen. Patrick Seal, haven't we heard this all before? An emergency summit to be called, some sort of committee to be set up, condemnation but no real action from the Arab states?
Well, there are two extraordinary aspects of this crisis. One, of course, is Israel's immunity, the fact that nobody can stop it after 3 weeks of slaughter. The other is the extraordinary feebleness of the Arabs. I mean, they are suffering, I think, a strategic catastrophe, potentially as grave as 1948 and 1967. Now, this is because of their great divisions. The fact, people have called it an Arab Cold War. On the one hand, you get Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and perhaps other friends of theirs, like Morocco, possibly. On the other hand, you get Syria and Qatar. You just heard the emir there, and Oman and Libya, supported by Iran and Turkey. So here there's a great division in the Arab world. Who is going to call the shots? Whose will prevail? And this struggle, this inter-Arab struggle, overshadows and seems to push aside the terrible drama taking place in Gaza. It's just when their central cause, the Palestinian cause, is on its last legs, they're still incapable of getting their act together.
Interesting characterization of it, an Arab Cold War. Abdelbari Atwan, what do you make of that?
Well, I'm really shocked and surprised. I expected the Gaza massacre to unify the Arab world and to unify the people with the regimes and actually taking action to stop these massacres. But what happened was completely the opposite. We have seen now, instead of one summit, three summits, and they are useless. There is no intention to take any action from the Arab regimes, who actually have a huge capabilities. They have the oil, they have the financial reserves, they have the gas, they have the special relation with the United States, they have the security coordination with Europe. And despite that, they never used any of these cards effectively to say to European, to the American, look, if you don't actually move and stop these massacres, I think we are going to use our weapons or our pressuring cards against you. But the problem is, it seems they are happy to see the Israeli finishing their jobs, and that's why they are buying time. It seems also there is some sort of coordination between the Israelis and some so-called Arab moderate governments to finish the resistance in Gaza, hoping that Hamas will be wiped off completely the map of the Palestinian struggle. So I think there is a conspiracy here, and I believe that all these summits, which just noises without any action, wouldn't achieve anything, just only to give the Israeli the time to accomplish their mission.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because while there may be protests on the streets of the Arab and Muslim world, Israel thinks that they have the support of the regimes in the region. Let's listen to what Israel's former ambassador to the UN, Dan Gilliman, told me on December the 28th.
I think that many people in Qatar, many people in the Arab world, in the Muslim and Arab world, have very little pity for Hamas. They realize that Hamas brought it unto themselves. They have no regard for human life. They're using their own people as human shields. Okay. And in a way, I think they may even be celebrating.
They may even be celebrating, said Dan Gilliman. Patrick Seale, what do you make of that? I'm assuming he was talking about the regimes.
Well, that's an atrocious thing to say. Of course, the regimes are deeply disturbed by what's happening, as are the people on the street. But they can't somehow act together. Now, nobody's asking them to make war on Israel. They're too feeble to do that. But what they should engage in is more aggressive diplomacy. As Abdul Bari has just said, they should use their cards. They should put some pressure on Western governments, and particularly on the United States. Of course, the Europeans are equally at fault. The EU should have resorted to preventive diplomacy earlier on. They should not have tolerated the siege of Gaza these last years. That was a crime. And of course, they should have spoken to Hamas. Hamas wants to be recognized. Hamas wants to be an interlocutor in this crisis. You can't have a settlement without talking to Hamas. I was very sorry to hear Hillary Clinton the other day, the Secretary of State designate, saying that America would not talk to Hamas. How can she resolve this problem if she won't talk to one of the combatants? Total nonsense.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you, Patrick Seale. I just want to move on a little bit. Abdul Bari Atwan, we've seen some interesting satire come out of the press and some cartoons that have come out, not only in the Arab media, but also in the international press. There's one we have standing by here from the Brazilian cartoonist Carlos Latouf. It has a picture of Gazans in a trench being massacred by men in coats, assuming presumably the Israelis. Somebody representing the international community looking on, somebody representing Uncle Sam, the United States looking on, but also somebody representing the Arab world looking on nonchalantly as if he doesn't care. Abdul Bari Atwan, that sort of satire that we've seen in the press amongst cartoonists, is it too harsh on the Arab regimes, or do they have a point?
Yes, they do have a point. The Arab regimes lost the moral grounds, exactly like the Western words. When I said that, because, you know, the Arab regimes can inflict a lot of damages if they like to actually use their capabilities to pressurize the West to do something. For example, when the Saudi threatened to stop coordination with the British government unless they stop the investigation vis-a-vis the Al Yamama armed deal bribes, you know, what happened? The British government stopped immediately this investigation. Other example, when the Libyan government used the weapon, used oil as a weapon to pressurize the Swiss government to stop the investigation about the alleged attacks by Colonel Gaddafi's son against his servants in Geneva, the Swiss government actually was moved by this, and they actually stopped this investigation, at least temporarily. So they can do a lot in order to protect their brothers in Gaza who are massacred by the Israeli. But it seems, you know, those corrupt officials who receive these bribes from Al Yamama, more important than the blood which is shed in Gaza. The same thing, it seems, you know, Libya can use the oil as a weapon when it comes to one of Colonel Gaddafi's sons. But when it comes to Arab brothers in Gaza, I think they are just turning to point, to talks, words, strong words, and that's all. So I think they are capable of doing a lot. But the problem is they don't want to do so. It seems there is a preparation to set up alliance between the Israeli and moderate Arab governments in order to fight the Hezbollah in South Lebanon, Syria maybe, Iran to stop its nuclear program. I think there is a move after that. When the dust settles down of this war, we can see more contacts, more coordination between Israeli and certain Arab governments in order to launch a war against Iran. That's my prediction.
Okay, gentlemen, it's time for a short break. We'll talk more about the chances of some sort of settlement in Gaza after the break. Do stay with Inside Story.